Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday early access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We are off an hour early today because of the Kansas City Royals. They are in New York, New York, playing the New York Yankees. They lost game one of their series yesterday. They're looking to win game two coming up later today. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob is here taking you guys up until 5 o'clock on 96.5 The Fan. I need you guys to do me a couple of favors before we kick into today's show. Number one, as you listen to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan, I also need you to tell one friend. I mean, it'd be great if you could tell two friends, but you know what? I would be very, very appreciative if you could just tell one person to check out the show. All right. I hate that it feels like once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, we have to lead regarding the stadiums. Now, we don't really have too much more new information. There's no rumors, there's no reports, but the Kansas City Sports Commission wrote a letter, an open letter to the Royals, to the Chiefs. They made a video and they are asking the Chiefs and the Royals to stay in the region. Maybe you haven't heard the letter. Maybe you haven't heard the video. Well, you know what? We got it for you here on 96.5 The Fan.
Greater Kansas City's business and civic organizations are united in a singular mission to ensure the Chiefs and Royals remain in our region for decades to come. But time is not on our side.
Which is why we urge our state and local leaders across the region and both teams to work together to create solutions that offer viable options for growth and success into the future.
While both teams are working hard to evaluate their future in KC, other markets are actively competing to lure them away.
To keep these cherished franchises in KC, we need strong, realistic public-private partnerships that make staying home in our region the only choice.
Sports are vital to Kansas City's identity and history. It's in our DNA. The Royals and Chiefs are key to our region's economic vitality and visibility across the nation and the world.
Now is the time for our KC region to rally.
To protect the championship legacy we've built together.
To secure our region's future as a premier sports destination.
Let's keep the KC region Major League for today and for generations to come.
So this was a nice letter. This was a nice video that was put together by the KC Sports Commission. And they had a lot of important people in this video. Kathy Nelson was there. You certainly recognize her. A lot of other people were in this video. This is my question. And I haven't heard too many people that have asked this question. Is there a threat of the region losing the teams? I mean, I know we go back and forth about whether you want the teams to be in Jackson, Johnson, or Wyandotte County. But, I mean, even if they're not in Jackson County, I'm still going to be able to go to the games, right? I mean, I want them to stay in Jackson County. I live in Jackson County, but, I mean, my car goes to Clay County, too. My car also goes to Johnson County. In fact, I am in Johnson County right now talking to you. My car can go to Wyandotte County. You want to know where I'm not going to the Royals games? In Nashville. I'm not going in San Antonio. Is there any conversation of that happening? What is the purpose of this letter? What are the intentions of this letter? Is there some threat that we can't see, that we don't know? Are there some behind-the-scenes conversations and dealings that would lead us to believe that we are in danger of losing either one of the two teams? You know what? This is the Royals' fault. This is the Chiefs' fault, and this is why. The amount of secrecy in the process has led us down a rabbit hole of rumors and innuendo and speculation, and no one knows what's going on today. Kathy Nelson is as plugged in as anybody in the Kansas City sports scene. We might not have the World Cup without Kathy Nelson. She is at the forefront of this video. She has signed her name on this letter. What does she know that we don't know? Because they make it seem like if you guys don't figure it out on both sides of state line, you might get your teams took. I didn't think that's what we were talking about. Again, I want the teams to stay in Jackson County, but if they move to Johnson County or Wyandotte County, it's not the worst thing in the world. I'll still go to the games. It's not that bad. I just want to know why we got this letter, why it was important for the Sports Commission to write this letter, and what it all means. We have reached out to a couple of them, very hopeful to have somebody on by the end of the week so we can try to get some clarity on this thing. But this letter and what I believe the intended purpose of this letter, I was very, very confused. Now, Rob, I was thinking this to keep with the stadium and maybe bring it a little bit more current day and what the Royals are doing. The Royals are in New York right now, and they're playing in Yankee Stadium. They're playing in New Yankee Stadium. Now, a lot of you know this already. Maybe some of you don't know this. The Yankees, they built a new stadium right next door to the old stadium. They had iconic Yankee Stadium. I mean, Babe Ruth played in that thing. Joe DiMaggio, Luke Gehrig played in it. And then they tore it down. It was a sad day, but you know what they did? They built a more modern, new, improved version of Yankee Stadium right across the street. In the end, you know what? That's what I want the Chiefs to do. I think we're past that conversation with the Royals. I do not believe the Royals will still be at the Truman Sports Complex. I think the Royals have told us at every single turn, we are moving. Not just that we are getting a new stadium. Yes, they've said that too. We are not going to be in the area or around the area where the current stadium is. We are moving from here. Now, we are still trying to figure out where that movement will be. Is that going to be in downtown? Is that going to be in Clay County? Is that going to be in Wyandotte County, Johnson County? We still don't know. We still have no clarity. But they have told you, we are moving. The Chiefs, they haven't said that yet. They have hinted that they are going to move. There have been rumors, but there is still a chance that the Chiefs have their stadium where it is. This is always what I have wanted to have happen. If you ask me my ideal, if I got to be in control of all of this, this is what I wanted from day one. I want the Royals to move to downtown Kansas City. I want the Chiefs to take old Arrowhead and build a modern, improved version of new Arrowhead right across the street. I mean, all of the benefits that you currently have, they're still there. It's a lot of space. You got the whole Truman Sports Complex to yourself. I mean, it's still a great place for a football stadium. Now, there are negatives. It doesn't have the entertainment district around it. And my complaint, and I imagine your complaint, are the same. They've had 50 years to build that around the Truman Sports Complex, and they've never done it. Hell, they don't even got Coco Keys anymore. You can't even stay at the Adams Mark Hotel across the street anymore. How can that be? but this is what I've always wanted. I wanted the Chiefs to take the current stadium that they have, reimagine it like the Yankees did, reimagine their stadium like the Cardinals did, and built a stadium right across the street. And that will be possible once we figure out what the Royals are going to do. But as we sit here a year later, we still have no clue what either of the teams are going to do. And you know what? We are probably not going to figure it out on April 15th. Coming up on the other side, this is what we are going to figure out. There is a Braves reporter, and it's not Aaron Ladd, that is in a lot of trouble. We'll talk about that story next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports?
You can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I want to stand in this fight with my Missouri brothers and sisters, but sometimes I think you guys go a little bit too far. CDOT, quit pretending like Kansas or anywhere in Kansas is Kansas City. The teams going to Kansas is us losing our teams. Okay. I want you guys to put your swords down for just a bit. Some of you live in Johnson County and feel a ownership and closeness to the teams. They've never been there. Why? Because we all live in the same metro. Again, Missouri people, I'm on your side here. But I at least want to, we will be okay. You drive over to Kansas for things quite literally all the time. All the time. You grocery shop in Kansas. You get gas in Kansas. You go shopping in Kansas. You go to the restaurants. They do the same thing on the Missouri side too. It'll be okay. I mean, that wouldn't be my preference. That's not ideal. That's not where I want them to be, but I still go out to the Legends to go see soccer. It's okay. I get in my car, I drive over there, you know, I stop at Hollywood, might play a little sports bet, and then I drive back home to the Missouri side. The same way that Rob, who lives in Kansas, you get in your car, and then you drive to the Missouri side to go watch KU play in the Big 12 tournament. And then you get gas on the Missouri side, and you get something to eat, and you get something to drink, and then you drive back home. This is just commonplace. We don't have to do this. Well, at least when it comes to that part, we are on the same team. Yes, we have differences. We are on the same team. If it goes out to 135th at Metcalf, I'll be disappointed about it. But you know what I'll do? I'll just drive over there to attend the games. But I'll still have the option to go. I'm not going to have that option if they move to San Antonio or Nashville. That would be the worst possible option. So as long as we're in that fight together, I'm happy. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, that's all I really care about. That's all I really care about. It's kind of hard to do this job if they move. It's not that hard to do this job if they move to Kansas. Not at all, actually. It's nothing changes if they do it. We talk about KU basketball just fine. It's 50 minutes from here. It all works. Just calm down a little bit and know that I'm on your side. That's all I want you to know. I want you to know that we rep the same smart tech here. That's all I want you to know. All right. There is a Braves reporter right now that finds himself in a lot of trouble. So yesterday, the Braves had a game, and a reporter goes up, and you know they do those little fan interviews where they're asking people questions, and well, let me just play for you what happened.
We're having a lot of fun up here up the Corona rooftop. Who do we got here? What's your name?
My name's Lauren.
Lawrence, all right.
And I'm Kayla.
Kayla, and you guys hang out at the rooftop lounge often?
Once a year I come out to visit.
Okay, well, we timed it pretty well. All right, good. How are you guys feeling about root for the Braves today?
Oof, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
What about you? Are you a Braves fan now?
Not quite.
All right, I'm gonna go to work up here, guys. Good luck the rest of the way.
Okay, Wiley. You got four innings to get the numbers.
I'm on it.
Get us some more Braves fans.
All right, so they want me to get your number.
They want you to get my number.
I'm dead serious. They're saying in my ear right now, she didn't believe me because she thinks you guys are not. I'm making this up. Even if you guys weren't, I might use that in the future. That's actually a pretty good move.
This is unbelievable.
So the best part of this right now is that Wiley could totally be faking it. This might be the new move. Okay. Just walk around with a FanDuel microphone and an earpiece in and convince fans that they're actually on TV.
I should have thought of this years ago.
All right. This is another thing that I understand in 2025, we get angry and upset about everything, and everything is the worst thing that could ever happen. Let's have a sensible and reasonable conversation about this. Let's try, at least. Hearing the audio and seeing the video, I believe that this was very playful. I think they were joking. I think they were having fun. But I think we can also see how this is very problematic. And I also think that we can see how this is a big double standard. Because we can be honest here. If this was attractive sideline reporter or attractive female reporter and she was out hitting on people, she would be getting cooked on the internet. It would not be viewed as something fun and playful. People would be calling her all kind of names if that happened. You can't do this, especially while on the clock on live television. Now, you're an adult. You're an adult. You approach him. It sounded like he approached her with respect. You can maybe do that when the cameras are off. Hey, you know what? I think you were nice. Hey, I'd like to talk to you sometime. But you can't do this while on the clock, while on television. You know this. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to this man. I certainly don't want this man to get fired. I don't think that he should be fired. I think on a scale from 1 to 10, I think this is like a 4 or a 5. And usually what the internet does is they take a 4 and a 5 and they make it an 8 or 9, and this is everything that's wrong with the media. I don't think that. This is inappropriate and something you shouldn't do. This is one of those things, and we all have been in this position at our job, that you do something, you color outside the lines a little bit, you go a little bit too far, you're trying to be funny, and your boss has to sit you down a little bit and tell you why you shouldn't do those things. You apologize, you correct your actions, and you go on about your day. That's what it seems like to me. You shouldn't be doing this.
and your other coworkers, the play-by-play and color broadcaster, should not be encouraging you to get this young lady's number while you're on the clock live on television. You probably shouldn't do that. Wait till the cameras are down, and if you want to continue to talk to that person out of the sight and mind of all of us, fine, who cares? I don't care. You're an adult. But you probably shouldn't do this. I don't know why we can't just approach these incidents with a level of sensibility, because I've seen how the internet has responded to this, and it has not been sensible. This is the misogyny and everything. What? Just calm down a little bit. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. Everybody, even the young, everybody's laughing. Okay, let's calm down a little bit. No, you shouldn't do it. Calm down. You got way too much dip on your chip. Relax. That's all we needed to tell this young man. I don't know what's going to happen with this story. I certainly hope that he doesn't get fired. I don't think that he should be fired. I don't think that anybody in this should be fired. I think the men in this video and in that audio, I think they deserve a talking to and should be told, hey, maybe that's not what we should do. And we should just all go on about our day until we find the next thing to be upset about.
I mean, I first and foremost think the silent reporter misheard the two people in his ear. If you listen to the audio, the guy is saying, get up, get the numbers. I think he means get numbers like get more Braves fans, because both those girls say in the video, we're not Braves fans. So I think he misheard them first and foremost. But this guy shouldn't be fired. The Braves reporter shouldn't be fired. The people in the booth shouldn't be fired. But just have a little more self-awareness of what you're doing. If you are a single guy, like there's a silent reporter we presume is with the Braves, and you're out, you know, after work, and you meet a young lady and you want her phone number, cool. You shouldn't do it during work. We shouldn't encourage people to do it. Hey, you know what I'm going to do? Start walking on the FanDuel microphone and getting numbers. No, we don't need that. You're right. Well-reasoned takes here will not win, but just it seems like you got to have a little more self-awareness from all of those people so this sort of thing doesn't happen.
Yeah, I just always feel like in these instances, I feel like we as a society have lost the nuance that most situations are not black and white. Like, something cannot be a big deal. You also probably shouldn't continue doing it. Like, both things can be true in this instance. I don't think that this individual instance is that big of a deal. I think it is a very minor deal. I also would just say, hey, as you're acting as the Braves sideline reporter, maybe you shouldn't be hitting on fans on camera. Maybe you shouldn't be doing it. That's it. Maybe you shouldn't be doing it. Maybe you should stop. That's it. Maybe you should stop. That's it. That's all I think you should do. Maybe you should stop. We don't have to keep arguing about it and keep going back and forth about it. I would like it if you stopped. And I think it would be in the best interest of our television broadcast if we didn't do that. That's it. We don't got to spend any more time on it. I'm ready to move on, Rob, if you are ready to move on. I just know that I saw this video. It was circulating the interwebs, and I wanted to give you guys my thoughts about it and let you know how I felt. So we had this debate last week. Steven Spector believes that he would break 100 at Augusta National. Rob, you said that you don't believe that you would break 100 at Augusta National. And you play golf, I would say, somewhat frequently. You obviously know how much you play, more than I would play. But you probably play golf somewhere between 4 to 6 times a month. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's probably the ballpark. I would call myself a weekend warrior type.
So we actually know somebody who recently played Augusta. Dave Scretta. He works for the Associated Press. Fantastic job. Longtime reporter. Got a lot of respect for him. So for those of you that don't know, they do a lottery for the credential media members. And if you win the lottery, you get to play Augusta on the Monday after the tournament. A group of journalists stay for an extra day, and they get the opportunity to play the course. Dave Scretta from Kansas City won the media lottery and got a chance to play Augusta. So I asked him, because I was very curious to know, do you believe that the average golfer could break 100 at Augusta? You would know. You just played the course yesterday. Here's what he said.
A weekend warrior would not break 100. I played a lot of golf growing up. I don't play as much anymore. If I'm playing back home on like a normal course, I'm going to shoot around 80, like 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, depending on how I play. I shot 95 and played my butt off. J.J. Watt shot 103, he said. So, It's just so unbelievably difficult, and there's no secrets. Like, there it is right in front of you. There's no surprises, but when you get to the greens, I mean, it is so difficult. If you don't have a caddy telling you what to do, where to go, the breaks, I mean, you're going to three-putt every green. It's just so hard.
Dave Scretta, he does not believe that the average golfer could do it. Now, he did tell me his score. Dave Scretta told me that he shot a 93 at Augusta. And I believe him. No reason to believe that he is lying. He said he shot a 93. Does that give you hope, Rob? Now, you personally know, you know Dave Scretta as well. You know somebody who has played Augusta and broke 100. Is it now crazy to think that Drew could break 100? Is it crazy to think that Speck could break 100? Because we now know somebody that has done just that. He's told me I shot 93 at Augusta. Do you believe now that the average golfer, your regular run-of-the-mill guy, non-pro, do you believe they could shoot below 100 at Augusta?
So Dave Scretta said in that cut that on the average weekend when he plays in Kansas City, he said he's somewhere between a 78 to 81, which means there are some courses in town that he's playing really good golf. If you're 8-9 over every weekend, you're a really good regular golfer. And even he said, without a caddy, I got torn up. I do not think Drew or Speck on a random Sunday could be like, let me go play Augusta and could break 100. No. I think maybe they got a caddy, and maybe I found this out from some people who have won tickets to go down the tournament. You know, right now, after they put that media round on Monday, the clubhouse shuts down. And they ease the course up, so in the fall, when the members come back, they play a version of Augusta, but it's not the difficulty that Rory McIlroy had on Sunday. If you were telling me Drew and Speck are playing the Sunday Masters, what Rory McIlroy played, hey, go get it. You don't get a caddy, they are not breaking 100. Maybe with a caddy who's a member and they know some tricks and nuance could get them close. But no, I don't think either of those guys are staying under 100.
Now, I think this is very, very important. And people on the text line are mentioning this as well. What tees are they playing from for the basis of this conversation? Are they playing from the same tees that Rory McIlroy was playing from this weekend and Justin Rose were playing from? Or are they playing from the member tees? Are they playing from closer tees? Because I think that is a very important distinction. I think there are probably a lot of people that could shoot below 100 if you are shooting from the member tees. Because in that, you probably shave off, what, 1,500 feet? You probably shave off a lot of room if you are playing from the member tees, then the championship, I mean, on Sunday at Augusta tees. So I think that's very important. You know what? I am ready to amend my earlier take. If they're going to play under the same conditions that Dave Scretta just played from, you are a regular person, you win this lottery, you get a chance to do it, you're J.J. Watt, you're Matt Ryan, you are a celebrity that played Augusta on Monday, I think you can shoot below 100 at Augusta. I don't think the average person can do it from the championship level tees. I just don't think the average person can hit the ball that far and then approach shots. I don't think the average golfer can do that. Can you walk out there as a regular person and have success at Augusta? I believe so after hearing Dave Scretta.
Also noting the text line makes a really good point here, and I just believe the text line. Supposedly the championship tees for Rory are 1,200 yards further
back.
That's
what I'm saying. So like, it's a big difference.
I think it is. I'll make, you know what I'll do here? A well-reasoned take. We'll call this well-reasoned take Tuesday.
For sure.
You know what? Different on the drive. Drew and Speck have a puncher's chance if they're playing from the members' tees. I could see them doing 95 to 100. I could see them making the turn at 14, 15, 16, looking at the scorecard and thinking it could happen. They have no chance from the championship tees.
I agree with
none.
That. I'm with you there.
Zilch, nada.
You and but I are on the same page there.
I think I will give them a puncher's chance. I've played golf with Speck. No, just once. I played golf with Speck once. He had a terrible round per him. He was not good that day. It was not Augusta National.
You beat him?
I beat him.
Oh, my goodness. He doing all this yapping, and you beat him?
That was his supposedly one of his worst rounds ever played.
Of course. You haven't noticed that?
He was big talking out. I've never played this bad before. I've never played with Drew. I would like to play golf with Drew. I presume Drew is better than me. I give them a puncher's chance of breaking 100 from the members' tees. They are nuts if they think they're doing it from the championship tees.
Let's talk about one of the other top stories in sports. I still believe it is the situation that's happening at Tennessee regarding their quarterback. And at this point, I have heard his name pronounced so many different ways. I've practiced it. Life is about knowing your strengths and weaknesses. I'm just calling him Nico or Tennessee's quarterback. And you guys know exactly who I'm talking about. Maybe you'll make fun of me. You're a broadcaster. You're supposed to be able to pronounce these things. I can't. I don't think I have the ability to, and I'm not going to try so you guys can make fun of me. I'm willing to admit, hey, you got it. You know who I'm talking about. One thing I learned in college is the basis of communication is to give out your intended message. You guys know who I'm talking about. Nico, Tennessee's quarterback. Now we getting all the stories around him. Now, Josh Pate, who has turned into a very, very good college football reporter, broadcaster, one of the best out there. He has a very, very popular podcast with CBS Sports. I want to play for you what he had to say, the rumors, what he's hearing about Nico and Tennessee's quarterback.
This stuff was happening last December during the playoffs with this kid included, but not just this kid. They were trying to get more money out of Tennessee and other players on playoff teams. We're trying to get more money out of playoff teams before the playoff games. They were trying to leverage playoff participation because do you know why? You want to know what the explainer was? The explainer was, well, our client, half these folks don't know the I comes before the E in the word, but hey, our client is being paid X amount of money to participate in 12 games, maybe a 13th if you make the conference championship game, and you guys made the playoff. He should make more money. This is the kind of BS that's happening behind the scenes.
I don't think that this is BS. I think we are living in a world without rules. I think we are living in a gray area and something that has not been collectively bargained. NFL players don't get their full pay for the playoffs. They get a reduced share, but that has been collectively bargained between the NFL and the players. So this doesn't happen in the NFL. You don't have Patrick Mahomes going to the Chiefs and saying, wait, I make X per game. Now, no, that's not the way it works. Everybody is taking a little bit less in these games to continue to play. That is what we all have signed up for and what we've agreed to. We don't have some of these issues. I will continue to bang this drum. I do not care how much money they make. Maybe some of you care and you don't think that you should be able to play college sports and be a millionaire. Okay, well, I don't know if you should be able to coach college sports and also be a millionaire. Everybody is doing it for the bag. I don't know if schools should be able to generate tens of millions of dollars and not have to break the kids off any of that money. So we all are living with something that we think is a little bit unfair. I don't care about how much money they make. I really don't care. What I do care about is the structure of how the sport works and how we handle transactions, how we handle contract disputes, how we handle player movement, because we have that figured out in every other league that we watch. This is figured out in the NBA. This is figured out in the NFL. That's all I want college to figure out. That's it. I don't think that the players are wrong. Hey, wait, we signed an agreement that says you guys are going to pay me based on we playing in 12 games. Now you are asking me to play in a 13th, 14th, maybe 15th. How does this work? That's how every deal is. We have regular guests. Some of them are just for the regular season. Some of their deals go through the postseason. All of that matters. That's the point of a contract. That's the point of a negotiation. That's the point of figuring these things out on the front end. I will continue to tell you guys, the NCAA had a chance to fix some of this, and they didn't want to fix it. And now you know what's about to happen. I am convinced this is about to happen. They are about to show that young man from Tennessee a lesson. He is threatening the system. He was the starting quarterback on a playoff team last year. He tried to hold out for more money before their little playoff experiment and then threatened to transfer again. And the school was emphatic. No, we're not giving you more money. Oh, they're about to make an example out of him. oh, he's going to play college football somewhere. He's going to play it at a 60% discount. And this is going to be the example they are going to tout in front of everybody. Don't do this again. Certainly not if you're him. You maybe could do this if you're Arch Manning. You can maybe do this if you're a, if you're one of those guys, not you. You ain't good enough to do this. A majority of you are not good enough to do this. They're about to make an example out of this young man. He already can't transfer to a team in the SEC. They've already reached that agreement. You can, at this point in the season, you can do it in the December transfer portal. You cannot transfer in April from Tennessee to Georgia. So you eliminate your ability to play in the number one conference in college football. All right, can't go there. Well, what about the Big Ten? What about this? This kid continues to mess around. He's going to be playing football in Western Michigan for $600,000 here coming up in August. He's going to be thinking, man, I had it kind of good. Why did I do this? I'm telling you, there are powerful forces at work here that they are about to make an example out of him. You, at every single turn, have had your hand out for more money when we've given you plenty of it. You're making $2.4 million to be the quarterback at Tennessee, and you could have just been happy with $2.4 million, but no, you got greedy and you wanted four. And we could have worked this out. We could have been on the same page. You didn't want to do it. We are about to make sure that your case doesn't happen, because if this kid wins and he goes somewhere and he gets $4.2 million from Oregon, then there will be a bunch of people that do this. You guys remember how it was 10, 15 years ago? It was a big deal when you sat out a bowl game. Oh, it would lead SportsCenter. I can't believe you would sit out the Sun Bowl. Well, one person went through it, and then the second person did it, and then we didn't get as mad about it, and then the third person did it, and now it has just become commonplace where now people like me tell you, if you're not playing in the playoff, you shouldn't play in a bowl game. Let a college player for the first time win a holdout. Let him win a holdout. You went up against Tennessee, you went up against the system and won and came out richer. Okay. Good luck to him. I do not know where he is going, but I'm telling you, I know how this story is about to end. He's going to be playing for $800,000 at Liberty is where he's going to be playing. He's going to be playing for Washington State. That's where he's about to go. You had it good in the SEC, and they are not going to let you forget that. That is how this story ends for you. Coming up on the other side, I am so happy to introduce this. It makes me so happy. The NBA playoffs start today, so that can only mean one thing. I just need 1 minute. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I want to read this text really quickly and then we'll move on. CDOT, I'm not a fan of college players getting paid the way that they do. Millions is too much. Maybe they should make it a flat rate across the board. And the excess NIL money that they would accumulate would go to the people who can't afford to go to college, to attend the college. Also, the transfer portal needs to be reined in. And also, you should have to have a degree to enter a draft or a professional team. A professional team should equal a professional degree. We are way past the education portion of all of this. I know that's not what the intended purpose of college athletics are. We are way past that in college athletics. We have a saying on our show. We can argue about the way we think something should be, or we should deal with how it is. I understand that we all have idealistic visions of what we believe college sports should be, and we're all allowed to feel those ways. We have to deal with what it is. If you're really good at 17 at playing basketball, you can be a millionaire now and you don't have to do it on the Lakers anymore. You can do it playing for Mizzou. You can do it playing for Texas Tech. So I'm just ready to, let's deal with where we are at this point, and let's then accept the, let's now create a structure. Hey, how do we make this work a little bit better than where we are? Let's figure it out. So that's where I am, at least when it comes to all of this. Speaking of holding out, I mean, this happens quite frequently in this league we're about to talk about. We will now do this every day that the NBA playoffs are going. So that means we've got about, I don't know, 4 months of NBA updates. It can only mean one thing. This might be my favorite segment that we do. Give it to me, Rob. Tonight is night one of NBA playoff basketball, and we've got two good ones. We've got the Orlando Magic taking on the Atlanta Hawks in a game that nobody cares about. You can catch that over on TNT. And then the nightcap, we got a game that a lot of people care about. We got the Golden State Warriors going up against Memphis Grizzlies. Who knows what celebration we'll get today from Ja Morant. Now, the Warriors, they shouldn't even be in this position. All they had to do was take care of business at home on Sunday against the Los Angeles Clippers, and they did not do that. Rob, did you know that Golden State is 25-8 since Jimmy Butler has joined their team? Now, I know they just lost a couple of days ago to the Clippers, but the Warriors are better than the Memphis Grizzlies. I expect them to win today. The Warriors, I also expect the Orlando Magic to win today as well. I think both of those teams are going to lock in the seventh seed in the NBA playoffs.
You're not excited for Magic and Hawks? Just get fired up. Can you feel the excitement? Can we have an honest conversation about how the play-in game is stupid?
Like, I actually don't mind the play-in game.
The idea of expanding the playoffs to 10 teams is stupid.
No, I mean, I understand the arguments against it. I do not have a problem with Memphis and Golden State having to play a small series.
Weren't you the one who, when they expanded the college football playoff, told me the regular season has to matter? It has to be important. We have to value it. We can't be expanding playoff. And now you're going to tell me how Magic and Hawks is actually a good thing for the league? It can't be both.
Well, I think I would say the regular season in college football and the regular season in the NBA are two very different things. The NBA regular season is not special. The college football regular season was very special, and they have diluted something like that. So that's where I think that they're different. Now, I'm not going to make it seem like every play-in game is great. You're right. But if you're telling me on one side we get Memphis and Golden State, and we have to get that in order to get the – okay, fine. I can live with that between the two. I think there's a lot of intrigue. You remember all of this Ja Morant stuff that started with the gun celebration and the grenade celebration started against Golden State. So these are some teams that got a little bit of bad blood recently going up against each other. You're never going to get me against watching Steph Curry and Ja Morant play a game of basketball against each other in a game that means something. What I think the NBA regular season needs more than anything is it needs a sense of urgency. You get that with the play-in game. Hey, you can outright miss the playoffs here. That's where I think the intrigue comes from. That's why I'm into what we have coming up later today.
I guess that's fair. Holding the NBA, which is doing everything in its absolute power to make the regular season palatable, they added a tournament like it's soccer, is different than college football. I just think we bent over backwards to get... You're right. We got Grizzlies and Warriors is fun, but Hawks and Magic is not fun. And there have been a lot of not fun games in the history of the playoff.
No, 100%. Excuse me. Someone on the text line asked, how does the play-in tournament work? Is it best 2 out of 3? The most simplistic way of explaining it is the 7 and the 8 seed play each other. The winner is locked into the 7 seed. The loser then goes into a different pool. You then have the 9th and the 10th place team play each other. The winner of that will then play the loser of today's game. And then if you win that, you are the 8th seed. It's a little bit confusing maybe to explain, but that's basically how it works. Is if you're the 9th and the 10th seed, you need to win 2 games to make the playoffs. If you're the 7 or the 8, you essentially just need to win 1 game in order to make the playoffs. That is how it ends up working. I don't know how much it's really going to matter. I think that all of the teams that are playing in the play-in are probably going to lose in round one, but I certainly want to see Golden State included in the playoffs. And if you're telling me of all the play-in teams, who's likely to maybe be a little bit of a danger, I will definitely take a team that has Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green with all of their playoff experience. I will take that against a Houston Rockets team that doesn't have a whole lot of playoff experience, and that might actually be a fun, intriguing series.
Well, it'd be fun because we get Dylan Brooks against Draymond Green.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that for people like us, that's a content of Palooza. That's
wait.
The dream.
Can't wait. No, I can't wait for it. Absolutely thrilled about it. All right, Rob, I want to ask you a very simple question. You know how usually at the beginning of the season, we go through some of the food options that are available at new ballparks around the country. Well, today I had the idea, why do we only do that for new foods? Why don't we figure out what people are eating around the country at some of these visitor ballparks, and why don't we do the same thing? Now, I've never been to Yankee Stadium before. I've never, in fact, seen Yankee Stadium. I will say, the thing that I have been most wrong about in my travels is I am a tourist. Some of you, when you go to new cities, you like to do the local things. No, I want to do the local things in Kansas City. When I am in your city, I want to do the touristy things that have been tried and true. Yes, I am coming here to do all of the popular things. I love being a tourist. Most places, you can do all the touristy stuff pretty quick. Not New York. Not at all. I thought you could. Oh, I can go see Yankee Stadium. Oh, I can go to Rucker Park. I thought I was going to do all these things. You might can do one of those things. You ain't doing all of them. You just can't. It's impossible. So I thought I was going to see Yankee Stadium. I saw Madison Square Garden, did not see Yankee Stadium, was not close to where Yankee Stadium was. Rob, they have a meatloaf burger. It is toasted on a brioche bun. It is house-made meatloaf with crispy fried onions with the barbecue aioli. Is this something that you would enjoy?
Not at a stadium. I'm going to give that a try at, I don't know, Cafe Trio. I'll just pick a restaurant in town that's on the nicer scale. If Cafe Trio had that as their special of the day, I'd give that a try. It's a great restaurant. You know, I trust their chef. The person working the back at Yankee Stadium, absolutely not. I'm not risking it there. There are some adventures I'll have at ballparks. A meatloaf sandwich is not one at Yankee Stadium.
You want to know why? Because meatloaf is trash.
You know what meatloaf is? It's nostalgia food. If you grew up having meatloaf, you don't like it, but there's a nostalgia to, oh, I had this as a kid. It's not good. It's nostalgic.
It's terrible, though. Meatloaf is not one of those things. Now, I can't speak for the way everybody was raised. I can't speak for everybody's childhood. But there were some foods that mom or grandma used to make, you used to get excited about. Hey, mom's making lasagna today. Hey, mom's frying up some wings today. There were certain foods that when they were cooked, you got excited about. You never got excited for meatloaf. Whenever your friend was like, hey, can I have dinner over your house? Hey, I want to come play Super Nintendo. And you told him, oh, hey, my mom's making meatloaf. Hey, I'll come over tomorrow. I'll come over tomorrow. I don't want to come over there. I don't want to come over there and play GoldenEye today with you. I don't want to play Mario Kart 64 on meatloaf night. Invite me over when she's frying up some catfish. You've never once been excited about meatloaf night. And now we're making that into a burger? Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are inching closer and closer to the draft. There are four major questions as we head into round one. I'll tell you what they are. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.